All right, get your Bibles out. I can't wait to share this message with you this morning. We've been working our way through the series called The Champion, and we're going to wrap up today. We've been in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, and I'm going to read it once again, and then we're going to focus on the very last sentence of verse 2, all right? It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And because of the joy that was awaiting him, he endured the cross." That's where we focused, of course, on Good Friday. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now, everybody say now. Now does not just mean now when this was written. Now means now, eternally now. Where is Jesus Christ right now? Here's the answer. He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. We're going to get into that in just a moment. You know, we started off this amazing weekend on Good Friday. How many of you were able to be at our Good Friday service? Wave at me if that was you. We had a couple great services. And we focused on the agony of the cross and all that Jesus endured for us. Ephesians chapter 5 says this: "He loved us and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." Aren't you glad Jesus ran his race, completed his race, and the end of his race was that cross, and he ran it to the end and he was faithful to God and he finished it. I've had people ask this question before, and it's a good question, but we don't usually get the right answer. Here's the question. Maybe you've asked it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever heard that or asked that question? Here's the true answer to that question. It's only happened once, and he willingly agreed to it. Talking about Jesus. Why do bad things happen to good people? From a biblical perspective, the Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. There's only one person that was a good person that experienced bad things happened to him. His name is Jesus Christ, and he willingly went to the cross for us. The Bible says he was a sacrifice. His life was a sacrifice for you and for me. And so the good news of this weekend is, number one, there's a God in heaven who wants a relationship with you, and he was willing to give his son and sacrifice his son, who was the only perfect, sinless human being who ever lived. And Jesus was beaten beyond recognition and nailed to a cross. And that's what we remembered on Friday, and I want to encourage you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says this. It says, "Pay attention to him," meaning Jesus, "who endured such an incredible amount of hostility." In other words, the Bible says we should focus on what Jesus went through. And we need to personalize this. This is not just a Bible verse. I mean, you know, this is a real person. His name is Jesus, who was really beaten beyond recognition, who shed his blood, was nailed to a cross, and endured the shame and the agony of that cross so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. This is amazing. God wants to have a relationship with you, and the only way that he can have that relationship with you is through the relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And so that's the message of Good Friday. But here's good news as well. Jesus did not quit along the journey. He finished the race. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith, and so he first of all had to finish his own race. Can I just say this again? I'm so grateful we get to follow our leader who sets the example for us in every way. Nothing causes people to lose more respect than people who are supposed to be in charge but who aren't doing what they're asking you to do. I'm speaking to the right crowd here. Like you hear parents say, do as I say, not as I do. Who wants to follow that kind of terrible leadership? Why should I listen to you if you're my dad or you're my mom? Why should I listen to you if you're telling me to do something you don't even do? But how many of you know Jesus never fell prey to that? In other words, if he's the finisher of our faith, he had to first of all finish his faith, which meant he had to run his race. And as we shared on Friday, who wants to get the race, the course that Jesus had to run? Nobody. It's the worst race imaginable. But Jesus finished his course, and now he gets the reward, which we'll talk about in a moment. So Jesus, praise God, finished his race. The Bible says in John 19, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and he said the words, last words on the cross, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head. I love this. Jesus gave up his spirit. Nobody took Jesus' life from him, right? He gave his life willingly for us on his own terms and his own time to fulfill all of Scripture. What an amazing Savior we have. The Bible says this, God's anger only lasts for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Jesus endured the wrath of God, the anger of God, on the cross for a moment, but aren't you glad that the favor of God is now released over all of us? This is the most amazing thing about being a lover of Christ and being part of his family. You don't have to live under the curse any longer. David was sharing it and prophesying that over us. We don't have to live under the curse. We now live under the favor and the blessing of God. His anger only lasts for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. And look at what it says next. Weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is so good. Some of you may be in a season right now that's really, really tough. And I just want to encourage you, Good Friday is not hell's final victory. It's not hell's last word, because guess what? Resurrection morning is here. That's what we're celebrating today. Hell never has the final word on anything in our lives. God has the final word. And I just want to say this. There are times, and some of you can testify to this morning, when you can look back over your life and you've been in some sticky, messy, painful times. But you know what? You're not there now. You've been transformed. Those relationships have been transformed. There's been breakthrough. Am I talking to the right crowd this morning? How many of you have experienced the redeeming power of God in your life? The healing, restoring power of God in your life? Come on. So Good Friday reminds us that no matter how dark it seems right now, God's not finished yet. And God brings about resurrections, and God brings about turnarounds that are supernatural. And so somebody needs to hear this right now. Don't you dare quit your race. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you say it's too hard. It's not too hard. Christ finished for us, and now he's helping us finish. You're going to get through this. Keep staying under the authority of God. Keep walking in obedience to God. Keep bringing the Lord the areas of brokenness in our lives, and we all have them, and watch God do something great. I could tell you story after story after story of painful situations in my life. But you know, when you're in the midst of the pain, start prophesying. Start telling the truth. Pray out loud. Devil, this is not the period on the end of the sentence. This is a comma. God's getting ready to put an exclamation point on this thing. He's not dead, done transforming it yet. Come on. This is the gospel. That day on Good Friday was the darkest, most evil, wicked day in human history. And God showed that in a matter of time, short a matter of time, everything gets reversed. That's called resurrection power. We all need resurrection power. Every day of our lives, we need resurrection power. And thank God he offers it. The curse of sin was fully absorbed by Jesus on the cross. It's amazing to me that the guards thought they were mocking Jesus by making a crown of thorns. Little did they know they were prophesying about what Jesus was about to do. How many of you know those thorns are a powerful picture of sin and the curse? There were no thorns in the garden until we fell, until we sinned, until we chose our own way. So what's Jesus doing? He thinks they're mocking him. Jesus is actually saying, no, you're actually showing the world what I'm about to do. They pounded that crown of thorns on his head. His face was covered in blood, and they mocked him as the king. They mocked him. And Jesus said, oh, you don't understand. I'm wearing your crown, my crown, that crown of thorns. I'm enduring all of this right now because I am going to break the power of the curse off of the lives of my people. This is amazing. And so you need to hear this. Whatever hell throws at you, you might say, well, you know, I come from a family, Pastor. You don't understand. We're a family. We're a bunch of hot-headed people in our family. Well, that was your old family. That was a curse over your family's life. Jesus broke that garbage on the cross. You're not a hot-headed family any longer. You're walking in the peace and joy of God. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. There's a lot of alcohol, a lot of alcoholism in our family. It runs through our family line. Well, that curse was broken on the cross by Jesus Christ. You don't have to accept that any longer. I mean, you can go right down the line. I don't care what sin it is that has twisted and perverted your family. The good news is Jesus took it all on himself and broke the power of the curse over your life so you can have the blessing of God, favor of God. The holy wrath of God was satisfied by the obedience of Jesus, his son. How about this? The price of our forgiveness paid in full by Jesus. If you're here this morning, what a joy to know that your ticket to heaven, so to speak, has been paid in full. You're not in need of forgiveness anymore. You've been forgiven. Now, obviously, we apply daily. We fail and we fall short. We keep running back and we get what we need. We get grace and mercy. But how many of you know Jesus paid it all? We're forgiven and we're free. So you're sitting out here this morning, oh man, I'm pastor, you don't know about my past. I don't care about your past other than to know enough to help you get free from your past. Your past does not define you. Your past does not limit you. You don't have to live under guilt and shame any longer. You're forgiven, which means Jesus knows it all, and Jesus paid for it all, and now he extends forgiveness to you. This is incredible news. I'm getting happy just preaching this news. The righteousness of God, the holy God, was fully vindicated in the perfect, obedient life of his son. What an amazing Savior we have. So I'm asking you this question. All that was left was the public declaration of God's full endorsement over his son Jesus. Now, think about this. When Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, obviously immaculate conception, the virgin birth, a miracle. Nobody, no human being could have even conceived of this. No pun intended there. But Jesus is a miracle. He started his race. But really his public race began when he was baptized and he was ready to go into the wilderness. You remember that scene? After Jesus is baptized, that's when he goes in at 40 days and 40 nights. All of hell is after him, trying to get him to crumble and to quit. Y'all remember that? And Jesus is baptized. And I love this because this church is a church of mothering and fathering, all right? What I mean by that is you might have come from a family where you don't have a good dad or a good mom, or maybe you don't even know who your dad is, but I'll tell you what you need. You still need the love and the endorsement and the approval of a father in your life. You need a spiritual father in your life. You need people who believe in you and will encourage you and love on you. That's what the church is for. That's what the body of Christ is for. So Jesus is getting ready to be baptized, and God's so proud of his son. I want you to hear this. God is so proud of his son that he splits all of heaven open, and God has an unrestrained passion. He's got to open his mouth and say something at this moment, and this is what he says. This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Or I share with you last Sunday, the greatest compliment you could ever pay another human being is to look them with sincerity in the face. And I encourage husbands and wives to do this. I encourage fathers and moms to do this with their kids and vice versa. The greatest thing you can do is look in someone's face and say this, you bring me great joy. Highest compliment. It means when I'm with you, I'm full of joy. What did the father say to the son? This guy right here, my son, brings me great joy. We're talking about worship this morning. What do we bring a God who has no needs? He's perfect in every way. He is not deficient in anything. What do you bring him? What do you have to show? How are you going to add to his greatness? You can't. There's only one thing you can offer. It's time to worship. What do we do? God, you bring me great That's what worship is. That's why when you see people singing, they're all long-faced. Their lips are moving, but their heart is dead. That's not worship. Worship means you had a supernatural encounter with Jesus, and your heart is full of passion for him, and worship is simply opening your mouth so your body doesn't explode. Which is why, again, if you turn to your spouse, I tell my wife, you bring me such joy. It's not convincing. When we worship, but we're just moving our lips. In fact, Jesus said something about this, didn't he? He said, you worship me with your lips, lip service, but your heart is a million miles away. Yeah. Now listen, no condemnation in Christ. We're going to get there in a minute. But how many of you know there's a call forth to offer to the Lord what he's worthy of, and what God said about his son was This is my beloved son. He brings me great joy. That was at the start of the race. That was at the beginning of the starting blocks. There's God cheering Jesus on. So here's my question to you. When Jesus gets to the end of the race and he says it's finished, what is the endorsement from heaven? What is the blessing of God over his son from heaven when Jesus faithfully completes his race? God wasn't just sitting there quiet in the distance, chilling out. How many of you know the Father was just as excited when the Son finished his race? And you know what the endorsement of the Son was? Resurrection. A public demonstration that hell did not win and that his Son was alive. And listen, that the sacrifice that he made and the blood that he shed was received by the Father, and the endorsement, the way we know Jesus finished his race, is because God raised his Son from the dead. This is a powerful, powerful. It was the scream of heaven over the pleasure of God in the obedience of his Son. This is amazing. The resurrection proves that the death of Jesus paid the price for our sin. So Paul said this, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. So if Jesus is pressing on in his race to finish it, and there's a heavenly prize that's coming, here's my question to you on this Resurrection Sunday. What was the heavenly prize? What was the endorsement of God over his son? I believe two things. We mentioned the one. First of all, he was resurrected in power. Resurrected in power. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, if Christ has not been raised, then all of Pastor Ron's preaching is worthless. And your faith is useless. This is a powerful word. Somebody wisely said this, if Christ is not risen, nothing else matters. And if Christ is risen, nothing else matters. Think about what I just said. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, this is a horrific waste of time. I'm just sputtering foolishness. We should be doing 1,000 other things than being here to worship. Because if Jesus is dead, so are we. It's just a matter of time. But listen to me. If Christ is alive, it's all that matters. I just got to say this again. If Christ is alive, that truth is all that matters. We had a young man at this church who was a godly young man, and he went home to be with the Lord, battled a strange illness, and it shook our church because we love this young man so much. But how many of you know, again, God's ways are not our ways. He loved Jesus. He's been partying for a long time. We're going to catch up. Don't feel sorry for him. But it shakes us on the earthly level. I pulled my family together in our front room, and I said, listen, I mean, you know, it's good fathers to have real heart talks with your wife and children. I said, look, guys, we don't know how much time we have on this planet. None of us knows if we have tomorrow. But here's the plea of my heart. I share this, again, looking to my children. I said, all that matters is that you live for Christ and that our family is together forever. Because forever is a really long time. It's a lot longer than the oldest person alive in this room. Forever. Think about this. If Christ is alive, nothing else matters. Your career doesn't matter. Nothing matters. I'm saying all that, we got to pay bills. I get it. But it's not the most important thing. And I wonder how many people in America, even on this Sunday, we're so full of our blessings and so full of our stuff, we're not even paying attention to God raised his son from the dead. And if he did, it changes everything. Everything about everything. And I told my children, make sure the greatest gift you could ever give your father, I want to know I'm spending eternity with all my family. And can I just say something as your pastor? Church. Could we make Jesus the center of our passion, of our lives? Can we love him with all of our heart? Can we honor his word? Can we live on purpose for the gospel? Can we make sure all the other stuff that we get to do as Americans does not become an idol? Because if he's alive, nothing else matters. That's how important it is. It's huge. This day is huge. And I just want to say this. I've grown quite fond of all of you. some more than others. Some of you I'm just meeting today, but I'm sure I'll like you in time, all right? And hopefully you'll like me. Listen, I want you in heaven with me. Do you all hear that? As a shepherd, I don't want any living stoners missing it. All you stoners, I'm talking to you. Whoa, dude, whoa, what's it? I'm talking to you. You're the one I'm worried about. Don't you dare miss the significance of this moment. Let's be passionate lovers of Christ, because if Jesus is alive, what else matters? Oh, come on, I feel that too, yes. All four of the gospel writers say the same thing. He is risen. And listen, if Jesus rose from the dead, it means you better pay attention to every single thing that he said. I mean, I'm just trying to connect some dots. If Jesus is alive, and some of you have those red letter edition Bibles. Anybody got a red letter edition Bible? That means in the New Testament, everywhere where Jesus said something, it's in red. If he's alive, we better pay really close attention to every one of those red letters. All the other stuff in there too. But whatever he said, you better believe it. And how much of the church today, we water down the gospel. We try to be cool with the public. We try to fit in. We try to be sensitive. We try to be tolerant. Listen, if God raised his son from the dead, your main focus better be knowing what he feels about everything and obeying him and moving in the holy, righteous fear of God. Because we're not talking about some lightweight. We're talking about someone that God exalted to the highest place, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin and is alive, the only human being who conquered death. You better listen to him. This is not a joke. This is not a joke. I've told you this before. Please bear with me. The coexist bumper sticker drives me nuts for Christians. Because how in the world, after the resurrection, when God raised his son from the dead, how in the world do you try to put Jesus on an even playing field with false religious leaders, so-called prophets, so-called teachers, all of whom are dead? They're dead. We can be nice, but we can't be stupid. How dare we put Jesus in a place where he's on common ground with other human beings who are wicked and sinful? The resurrection sets Jesus apart. It puts an authority behind his life and his name that no other name has. And you can't treat it casually. You cannot treat it like he's just one of the guys. He's not. He's not. We can't treat him lightly. We should honor him and reverence him. In fact, look at what the Bible says. We're talking about the endorsement of heaven. The resurrection of Jesus forever establishes the fact that he is God Almighty. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 4. He was shown, in other words, this is some visible proof. He was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he is Jesus the Messiah, Christ the Anointed One, and our Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. That's why we worship him. That's why we pay attention to him. That's why we honor and reverence him. That's why it is a must that we have a relationship with him, and we don't miss what he did on the cross for us, and we don't miss the fact that God powerfully endorsed him by raising him from the dead. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Because Christ was raised from the dead, he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Paul later says he took the sting out of death. Now again, every believer in this place should be confident of this thing. When you die, you will move right into the presence of Jesus. And you're going to spend eternity with him. I just want to say, I got family here on the front row. When my time comes, don't you dare do any kind of heroic stuff to try to resuscitate me and bring me back. Let the brother go, all right? Do you understand that when you know that your future is secure in Christ, you don't have to fear death? Do you know how liberating it is? And I'll just say this boldly. My life is not done until God says it's done. I believe I am immortal until my time is done. Nothing in this world controls me. God controls my life. I belong to Him, and I am going to live with confidence. I'm going to live with boldness. I'm not going to shrink back in fear. I'm going to live like Jesus lived, knowing full well everything that was awaiting Him, the agony that was awaiting Him in Jerusalem. The Bible says He resolutely stepped forward. He faced it. He faced it without fear. Do you know what? Hey, this truth will turn men who are cowards into men who are full of courage. You'll stop saying, well, you know, do we really want to go on a mission trip to that country? I heard it's dangerous. Oh, stop it. Live unashamed. Live in the power of the gospel. Live boldly. Oh my gosh, Pastor, I heard there might be another virus coming. Who cares? Ungodly people, listen to me. Ungodly people live in fear. They're afraid of everything. Oh, yeah, come on, yeah. You need to get saved. You're driving me crazy. Jesus killed death. I got to say that again. Jesus killed death. Death is what keeps people in bondage, the fear of death. Jesus killed it. And He's never going to die. In fact, isn't this crazy? The Bible says the residual effect of the power that was released in the tomb of Jesus, causing Him to spring forth into life, the residual effect caused a bunch of dead people to come to life. Can we just pause here? You're getting ready for your Sunday meal, and all of a sudden your aunt, who's been dead for 20 years, starts walking down your street. And you're like, Aunt, is that you? She's like, yeah. What happened? And you're like, we don't know. But something powerful must have happened. I mean, this happened at Jesus' resurrection. Just the power, boom, resurrection life. Human beings popping out of their graves. This is a foretaste again of what's coming. I mean, we got some people that are going to be popping out of some graves around here when Christ returns, if we die before He comes. This was the foretaste, the first fruits of everything Jesus was going to bring. And I'm going to skip down to the second thing just for the sake of time. I know you're all getting hungry. Look at the second thing. He's not only been resurrected in power, but He is now seated in honor. You know, the resurrection of Jesus says He's alive. But the ascension of Jesus says He's victorious. That's why, you guys, I got to tell you, when we got into worship this morning and we come right out of the gate, we're going big. I told the worship team, let's go big or go home. Come on. It's Resurrection Sunday. How many of you know when you start singing about the Lion of Judah? Let the lion roar. I mean, if that's not a resurrection song, I don't know what is. I mean, you know, the lamb that was crucified became the lion when He was resurrected, and now He's roaring. I love those kind of songs that demonstrate the power of the resurrection and that point to the fact that Jesus Christ has been exalted to the highest place possible. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I feel like, you know, sometimes we focus on the resurrection exclusively, but we need to go on to the ascension, because this passage in our text tells us in Hebrews 12:2, now at this very moment, He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Later in Hebrews, or earlier in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, we see Jesus, because He suffered death for us, He is now crowned with glory and honor. In other words, Jesus is reigning as our King right now. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, just a couple more verses. Through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and your hope in God. And it says because. I always like to circle because. It's a cause word. Why do we put our faith and trust in God? There's two reasons I want to give you this morning. Why are you a follower of Jesus Christ? I hope you don't give these answers. Well, my grandma used to bring me to church. Or, you know, my parents have always been part of such and such denomination. Or, hey, I'm an American. All of us in Americans, you know, we tend to be Christians. You know, none of those are the right answer. There's only one good answer. I believe in Jesus Christ because God raised him from the dead and proved that he was the Son of God on this very day. How many know the resurrection is a historical event that can be proven? It's logical and it's rational. It's supra-rational. In other words, it's beyond our rationality because dead people usually stay dead. But Jesus broke that rule. So why are you a Christian, and why should you, if you don't know Christ this morning, why should you surrender your life to Christ? Because there's two important events that happen that you can't ignore: the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus. God raised him up right before our eyes, and right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's ruling and he's reigning. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8. Who then will condemn us? What's it say next? Who will condemn us? Imagine you're standing in God's court, the judge of the universe, and the Lord says, Pastor Ron, who brings an accusation against Pastor Ron? And I'm going, man, I hope no one showed up for this hearing. What about my early days? What about my immature days? What about my stupid days? What about yesterday? Who brings a charge against Pastor Ron? I look around, courtroom's empty. Judge strikes the gavel. You're free to go. What? Are you kidding me? Yep, free to go. No accusation. Can I just say this? If some of you feel like you have the gift of accusation, it's from hell. If God has declared over your life no condemnation, why do we go around beating people up and condemning people instead of loving people and inspiring people to be lovers of Jesus? Have you noticed? You'd rather have somebody look at your life and go, man, my son, Jay, just got a text from one of his buddies who was at our 9 o'clock service. This is what he said. I've never seen so many men so full of joy. That makes a brother happy. That makes a pastor happy. Listen, because joy is a sign of a man whose wicked heart's been conquered by Jesus. A church full of joyful men is a church that's been transformed by the power of the gospel. And wouldn't you rather motivate people to follow you out of inspiration than condemnation? In other words, don't you want, Paul said this, hey guys, follow me because I'm running after Jesus. We're following Paul. I want to love that way. I want to know God that way. I want to be able to serve that way. I want to know how to minister to people that way. I want. In other words, nobody should have a gun to your head on Resurrection Sunday. Check this out. That somehow you got to come and check off the list and show God, I'm here. He's not impressed. He's not looking for a checklist. He's looking for transformed people who, listen to this, want to be here, who love worshiping him. If my kids came up to me and said, hey, Dad, I'm here. I made it to church. I'd be like, great. I'm glad you're here. But what's going on the inside of you? What's going on the inside of you? Is there any kind of sense of passion for the Son of God? You know, I've heard people say this. You know, we went to Living Stones and the worship there was slightly different than maybe the church I was raised in. But the worship was a little bit over the top. Can I ask you all a question? How is our worship of Jesus ever over the top when we understand how high and exalted he has been placed by God? Let me ask you, how is your worship over the top when you realize right now he's surrounded by a multitude so large that nobody can number, and they're passionately pouring out worship before Jesus. They're saying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and dominion and power. And I want you to see what Jesus is doing. He's not going, oh, stop it. You know what he's doing? He's taking it all in because he's worthy of it all. How do you go over the top when the Bible says it's going to be so loud in the presence of the Lord? It's like standing in front of a million Niagara Falls. And you're talking to your friend who's there watching the glory with you, and you're going, what? What? You're this far away, and you can't hear a thing because the glory of the sound and the majesty of what's around you is so loud, you can't hear yourself. So listen to me. I'm just trying to get you heaven ready. Do you know what we're coming into? The ability to worship Jesus with unbridled passion, pure passion, not religious nonsense passion, pure passion. Everything in our being, and can I just assure you, you'll never go over the top. Because his worthiness is always higher. All praise, all dominion, all honor, all glory. So I just want to invite you all, can you help us at Living Stones? Try as best as we can to go over the top with our worship. Can we just try that? Like, let's just spend the rest of our days trying to be that engaged, trying to be that in love with the Son of God because he's so worthy. See, this is what it's all about. No checklist, no duty, no this, no that. Just you've been forgiven. And now love Jesus. Let him change your life. Let him heal your brokenness. Because listen, if Jesus Christ is alive, hear me, nothing else matters. Can you join me in doing something? We've ended all of our services this way. Can you just join me in helping me try to go over the top in our worship this morning? Hop to your feet. We're going to pray. But can we just begin to honor the Lord with our claps, with our praise, with our celebration? Jesus, you're worthy. We honor you. We honor you. We give you glory. Woo! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Where would we be without you? Where would we be without you? You are worthy. Worthy, 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 Lord. We honor you and we love you and we magnify you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let's pray. Come on! Yes! More, 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 more! We love you, Lord! Come on, Jesus! Any other children want to lead us in worship? Come on. Out of the mouths of babes. Get this vision with me. What about we bring our A game on the first day of every brand new week? No matter what kind of a week we've had, you know, we just worship Jesus because he's worthy. And we get our hearts right and we bring joy. We just tell the Lord, God, we enjoy you. Jesus, we enjoy you. Holy Spirit, we enjoy you. Make it personal. I enjoy you. Now listen, you can't say that and mean that without being born again. You got to have a supernatural resurrection in your heart. You got to be able to turn from your brokenness. You got to turn from lifestyles that are not pleasing to God, from behaviors that God says, don't do that. Don't live that way. He says it not because he's a meanie. He says it because he loves you so much and he's for you. And he wants to set you free. How many of you know whatever sin that is entangling us, the lie is that the sin is more satisfying than Jesus. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Sin has a short expiration. And it becomes really gross and yucky and sick in our mouths when it runs its course. Don't be deceived by sin. Jesus is the real deal. And I just want to ask this question on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday celebration. If you are in this place and if you were to leave and start heading out after church, and God forbid, but something happened to you and you were to die, I just want to ask you the most important question I could ever ask anybody. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're good with Christ, and that when you come and you stand before Him, He's going to be excited to see you, and He's going to welcome you home? There needs to be that assurance in your heart, like, I know that I know that I know that I've submitted my life to Christ. This is huge. The resurrection is no small thing. The resurrection screams that God is real and that His Son is real and that salvation is available for all of us. But you got to turn from your ways and you got to respond to the Lord and you got to give Him your life. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. So I want our ministry team to come up here. And we just want to pray with people this morning. And I don't want you to leave here. I don't want you just to go, you know, I need to think about that. Pastor Rod gave me something to think about. Don't think about it. Act on the truth of what you just heard. Do not walk out of this church without knowing that you know Christ and that you're living under the favor and the blessing and the smile of God over your life. It's just called surrendering. But I want to ask you this question. Who's more worthy of your surrender than the only one who was raised from the dead and conquered death and paid the price for our sins? It's Jesus. Who's more worthy of your life than Jesus? So don't resist what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life right now. We also had a powerful word of knowledge about some healing that God wanted to do. If you're here today and you're just in a really, really rough time and you need some happy friends to pray with you and to stand with you and to bless you and to fight with you for freedom, there's going to be folks waiting here after the service. When we say amen, just come on, flock down here. And I don't want to be right here in the middle. I'd be glad to pray for anybody, but I want to meet you if you're brand new. I know there's family in town and friends and people visiting and guests that you guys have invited. I would just love if you took a moment and came down here and said, hey, Pastor, I'm so-and-so, and just allow us to connect and allow me to meet with you, all right? So, Father, thank you for this morning. It's the greatest of all mornings. And Lord, thank you for the truth that we've tried to lay out from your word and for the hope that we have. Lord, bless these dear people. I just pray every one of you know how crazy your Heavenly Father is about you. You're precious, you're loved by God, and you're valued by us. And I just pray that you leave here today knowing how special you are and how valued you are. Lord, bless our day and bless the rest of this week. We commit it to you now in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Love you like crazy. Have a great week.